Thank you, Jesus. Happy Father's Day to everybody. It is a beautiful day for it. Every day is a beautiful day for Father's Day. Because he's a good, good father. Amen. We are loved by him, and that's who we are. Amen. 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 Turning your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. I have three scriptures. They're not from Deuteronomy, but three scriptures, opening scriptures. Deuteronomy 32, verse 6. And it says, "Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that has bought thee? And hath he not made thee and established thee?" The next one is in Malachi chapter 3, verse 17. "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." And then in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." My title today is, "As a Father," and subtitle, "In His Loving Care." Would you pray with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Father, our Savior, our Lord, our Creator, God. Thank you for your love, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious promises. We ask you, O Lord Jesus, continue to bless us, O Lord, in our fatherhood. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you. You may be seated. My focus this morning is on the father relationship to all humanities. On that note, would all fathers stand for me, please? If you're a father, if you've been a mentor, if you've been a part in raising children somewhere, a father to the fatherless, and had that that burden, I'd like for you to stand. As a father, you have something in common with God, and that is fatherhood. I thank God for allowing me to be born in a time in history where men who are fathers can stand up and not be afraid to say so. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let's give a hand praise to God for the fathers that we have. Fathers and future fathers. Thank you. You may be seated. In my research for this topic, Pastor told me I would be speaking months ago on a Sunday morning in June. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to do this. And in my research, I came across a word, Abijah. Someone say Abijah. It's a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew name. That means Yahweh is my father, or my father is Yahweh. Say to someone on your right, Abijah. And then say to someone on your left, Abijah. You know that's a very humbling statement, because our fathers who just stood up said, "I'm a father, but God is my father. I'm a father, but my father is Yahweh." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's one of those names that can be given to a man or a woman. In Scripture, it was the name of Solomon's grandson. He was one of the kings of Judah. Abijah also was the wife of Hezron of the tribe of Judah. Abijah was also one of the sons of the prophet Samuel. And also, Abijah was the mother of King Hezekiah. Yahweh is my father. My father is Yahweh. In Malachi 2:10, I believe I've read this before, I said this before, it says, Have we all not one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother, profaning the covenant with our fathers? You know, I meet so many people who say, well, everybody is a child of God, and that used to bother me. Because I know when we are filled with the Holy Ghost, we're born again, we become children of God. But they say everybody is a child of God. And then it dawned on me. God is the Father of all humanity. He's the Father of everybody. He created all of us. And we're going to get into that. Because the whole Bible is God's story. It's about a father who would do anything for his children. Amen? The Bible is written in such a way that it gives you the narrative or gives you a perspective of what God means in his story to let you see him in various ways, like in various relationships. Because remember, he is king and we are his people. He is a teacher and we are his students. He is the bridegroom and we are his bride. One of my favorites, he is the captain of our salvation. Hallelujah. And we are his redeemed, being in the Navy. To see him as captain, oh my goodness. There is none like him. I've never had a captain like him, by the way. He is the shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. But the relationship I want to talk to you about today is the father-children relationship. All dads can relate to that one. Amen. I thank the dads for helping me preach this message with amen. As my opening scripture stated in Hebrews, he was in all ways tempted as we are, yet without sin. God went through, as a father, God went through a custody battle for his children. Now, before I get into how that custody battle went, I want to clear some things up. The custody battle that God went through was not in a court of law, family court, or even in a court of public opinion. It's an internal. It's an internal to him. God is holy and just. At the same time, he is loving and merciful. Amen. He hates sin, however, he loves his children. And in there, he grieves over the choices and status and condition of man. Amen? Amen. That's why the whole Bible is his story. His grieving and what he would do to get his children back. But one thing is for certain, though. The ruler of this world, I'm not going to say his name, he's unfit to have custody of you. He is unfit to have custody of your children as he is unfit to have custody of mine. He can't have them. He is unfit. So God, there's a battle. And what God is saying is, yes, I might have some internal things going on, but I will do everything within my power to get custody, to regain custody of you because I love you. If I have to make an example out of a few, I will do it because I love you. If I have to send angels, judges, and kings to remind you of who I am, I will do it because I love you and I want you back in my custody. If I have to warn you over and over and over again, I will do it because I love you. If I have to robe myself in flesh and sacrifice my life for you, I will do it because I love you and I want you with me. If everyone is a child of God, then they need to know that God wants full custody of the child of God. Amen? God wants full custody of us. Point to note. There's a few points to note that are going to bring out the terms or the conditions or the way this custody battle started. When man sinned, he became a slave to sin and separated from God. In John chapter 8, verse 34, Jesus said, and Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Or some versions say, is a slave to sin. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Isn't that just like a custody battle in our world? The one will not let the children talk to the father, will not let the children communicate with them. Sin does that. Sin will make you go farther than what you want to go. It will make you stay longer than you want to stay. It will make you pay more than you want to pay. It makes a separation between you and God. Man's slavery to sin was exemplified by his slavery to Pharaoh when Israel was enslaved in Egypt. That was my first clue. My first clue of the custody battle in studying this was when God sent Moses to confront Pharaoh. God wanted custody of his people, saying, let my people go, saying, let my son go. Exodus 4:22 says, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus said the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Amen. Verse 23, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. That's the father who wanted custody of his children, and he is not to be played with. Amen? The battle was on. It was on. God wants his children back. It reminds me of that movie called Taken, with Liam Neeson in it, and a man took his daughter from him, and he was talking to him on the phone, and he said, if this ransom you want, I don't have any money. But what I do have is a particular set of skills, and I will find you. He wasn't to be played with either. Don't mess with him. Don't get between Dash and their children. Amen? Amen? Amen. I saw it. I saw a few dads stand up. Okay, I get it. You trust God to take care of your children as well. I feel you on that. I feel you on that. But five times in Exodus, God makes the appeal. God makes a demand to Pharaoh through Moses. Let my people go. Let my son go. Let them go that they may serve me. Let them go that they may worship me. Let them go that they may have a feast with me. Let them go because I want them to live with me. Let them go because I want full custody. Amen? God reveals himself to his children through signs and wonders and delivers them from slavery by a mighty hand. Deuteronomy 6:22 says, and the Lord showed signs and wonders, great sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon his household before our eyes. Deuteronomy 26:8, this is Moses speaking to the children of Israel about everything they went through. About their heavenly father. Deuteronomy 26, verse 8 says, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with outstretched arm and with great terribleness and with signs and wonders. The deliverance always came with signs and wonders. Amen. However, during his enslavement to sin, man forgot his creator and his father. The Bible describes it of having a hardened heart. Example of this is in Exodus. In a few scriptures, it says, Exodus 2, verse 14, and he said, who made thee prince and judge over us? This is what an Israelite talking to Moses. Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. And in Numbers 16:13, it says, it is a small thing that thou hast brought us out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness. Except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us. They had it all twisted. They thought it was about Moses. Man had forgotten his creator. Man had forgotten his own identity and God, our Heavenly Father's identity. Can you imagine that for a father trying to get custody of children that don't even remember who he is? Trying to get custody of children that don't even know who they are, that they don't even know that they're sons and daughters of the Most High. How many are glad to be in God's family today? Thank you, Jesus. You know who you are. Thank you, Jesus. God establishes a relationship with man and gives him the law through Moses. In Exodus 20, verses 1 through 4, Moses explains, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Verse 3, and thou shalt have no other gods before me, and thou shalt make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven or above or is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. God established a relationship with them before he gave them the law. And fathers, if you forget anything else I said today, I want you to remember these three things, these four things, actually the four R's. Rules without relationship results in rebellion. I know in school you learn the three R's, but this is the four R's. Could you say it with me? Rules without relationship results in rebellion. We give our children rules to follow because to protect them, and there's a reason for each and every one of them. But it's important that we have a relationship with them. You know, that's a management principle. They teach that in business. If you have a positive relationship with your employees, you're more than likely are going to get some cooperation from them. If you have a good relationship with your children, as my mom would say, you're going to get some act right. Amen? We need to have some act right. Amen. But the relationship comes first. Amen? In Deuteronomy 8, verse 2, Moses says, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. That's relationship talk right there. That's relationship. The whole Bible is God's story, brothers and sisters. The whole Bible is his story. Man responds by worshiping the creation rather than his creator, idols. Deuteronomy, Moses is given his summation of all their experiences. It says, in Deuteronomy verse 9, chapter 9, verse 16, it says, and I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God and made a molten calf, and ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. 2 Kings 17:16. And they left all the commandments which the Lord their God had made them and had made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshiped all the host of heaven and served Baal. Again, they forgot their creator. They forgot who they were. And we can see that. We can see that in our world even today. Next point is, God is grieved by the idolatry, unbelief, and mistrust of his children. It started way back in Genesis, God's grief. Genesis 6:6, before the flood, it says that it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Psalm 78:40 says, "How often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert?" Psalm 95:10, 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, "It is the people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." They had forgotten him. And then that famous verse in Isaiah 53, verse 3. "He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid it as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not." Between his hatred of sin and his love for his children, God is grieved. But it was in that grief that he was able to become our intercessor. It was in that grief that he was able to become our advocate. It was in that grief that he could become our kinsman redeemer. Amen? He grieved so much for his children, he had to do something. Just like we as fathers do, we have to do something. We have taken on this role as a father because we have to do something. Yes, our children are old enough to think for themselves. Our children are intelligent enough to make smart choices, but they don't sometimes. And it grieves us. It drives us to our knees. It drives us to the point of intercessory prayer. Amen. On that note, please come to intercessory prayer and prayer nights on Monday, please. It is a place where fathers pray for their children. Amen. Another example of the grieving father in Scripture was King David. David had many children. And one of his sons, whose name was Absalom, I'm told his name was pronounced Absalom, because in Hebrew it meant the father of peace. To name your son father of peace means you love him very much. Loved him very much. Had such high expectations for Absalom. He was known for his long and wavy hair, beautiful hair. But this same son, Absalom, tried to take the kingdom away from his father. Please read the story. Please read it. It's better than anything I've ever seen on TV. He actually gathered himself an army. But they were no match for David and the mighty men of valor. Please don't get it twisted. David had some people fight for him. Oh my goodness. The army of David. To the point where Absalom had to flee for his life. And it was during his escape that that hare that I was telling you about got caught in a tree. And the donkey that he was riding kept going. And he's sitting there. He's hanging there from a tree by his hair. And he was killed by those who were pursuing him. David had given strict orders to his army, "Do not harm the young man. Do not harm him." But when David found out that his son was dead, he grieved so. In 2 Samuel 18:33, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. It says, "Then the king, King David, was deeply moved, and he went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he wept, he said thus, 'Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son.'" That sounds like a father grieving for a son he cannot get custody for. He can no longer get custody of Absalom. He's gone. And that's the grief our Heavenly Father feels. He wants us to repent before it's too late. How many of you have known someone who could have been treated, but when they got to the hospital, it was too late for them? We could have only treated him, healed his wounds or this sickness that they have if they had only come sooner. How many of you have ever experienced that? It is a grievous situation. That's how our Heavenly Father is. He grieves for humanity. Another scripture says he weeps in secret for our pride. You know, the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. And I often wondered why they used to say that, but now I can see why. David grieves as a father. He grieved as a father, as our Heavenly Father does from his heart. Amen? Amen. However, God still loves his children and longs to have a loving relationship with them and have them in his loving care. Psalms 86:15 says, "But thou, O Lord, art God, full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." He is long-suffering. There's so many scriptures in the Bible about God's long-suffering. Can you imagine grieving for so long for your children? That's who our loving Father is. Amen? Amen. As a father, we are long-suffering and patient for our children. We're crying out to God day and night for them. Amen? Long-suffering. Amen. I thank you, fathers, for being that way for your children. Someone was that way for us. Amen? And in Joel 2:13 it says, "And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil." Since God made man in his own image, he appealed to man's common sense and a sense of reason. Many people say, "Well, God gave us a mind, and we need to use it." Well, he gave you a mind and that reason and that rational thought process, the logical, okay, so that he can reason with you, so that he can convince you of the truth. Amen? In Psalm 34:11, he says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." In Isaiah 1:18, it says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Amen? God reasoned with us to help us come to know who he is. Amen? God sends forth his word through prophets, judges, and kings. Deuteronomy 18:15 says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren. Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken." And in Isaiah 6:8, he says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." And in Isaiah 49:15 says, "And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." God has always intended to live with his people, for his people to live with him. Amen? During this time, after he has sent judges and kings and prophets, man realizes that he is bound by the law of sin and death. And he sends one, John the Baptist, and many are baptized in the baptism of repentance. Yes. Amen. Preparing the way of the Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Then he came himself. Amen. 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 Bringing the gospel with signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God did something to get his children back. Robed himself in flesh. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 11, when John was shut up in prison and John was asking, "Are you one who is to come, or should we wait for another?" And Jesus said, Matthew 11:4 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which he do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." The gospel came with signs and wonders. Just as the deliverance from Egypt God delivered them with a mighty hand and outstretched arm with signs and wonders. Jesus brought the gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection with signs and wonders. The apostles reached the gospel with signs and wonders and miracles. Amen? Amen. In Acts 2:22, it says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words." This is Peter preaching. "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Another thing that Jesus did when he was with his disciples after God had robed himself in some flesh, he wept over Jerusalem. In Matthew 23:37, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. He says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent unto her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." That sounds again like a grieving father. Amen. "Absalom, if you had just come home, we could have fixed this mess you made. I'm the king. I could have made it all better. I'm your father. I could have fixed it. Just come to me. Just listen to me." Fathers, you know that. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going with this. So after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, God reveals himself as he truly is, with all authority on heaven, in heaven and on earth. All authority was given to him. He had broke the power of death because the grave was no longer able to hold him. Then he sent the Holy Ghost. God regains custody and seals it with the Holy Ghost. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Sister Caitlin read this morning. Thank you, Jesus. If I had any questions on what I was going to say today, you confirm it for me. The Holy Ghost does that. Amen. And in verse 16, it says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." In verse 17, it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified with him." And Galatians 4:6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." God regained custody. Yes, he did. We grieve for our children. That's what fathers do. If you grieve for the bad decisions and bad choices of your children or your loved ones, then yes, you are also a man after God's own heart. Yes, you can relate to God in that way as a parent. Amen. Would you stand with me? Musicians, would you come? And I'm going to ask the fathers to come to this altar, please. If you're a father, please, please, please come to this altar for a little while and join me here. Because you stand in the gap for your families, including your children, I want you to stand here today with me in this gap. Amen. And we'll pray with you and for you. As a father, he loves his children who were separated from him. As a father, he fought for his children who were separated from him. As a father, he grieved for his children who were separated from him. As a father, he paid a high price for his children who were separated from him. As a father, disciplines his children, so the Lord disciplines those who fear him. As a father, he is a father to the fatherless. As a father, hallelujah, he regained custody of his children. Not just visitation, not just for visits, you know, like visiting every Sunday. Not just partial custody or supervised visits, but full custody. God regained full custody of his children, as we would. Amen? Not just for partial custody, but for all time. He promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. And also it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. If you have grieved for your children, bad choices, if you have grieved for any of your loved ones, if you have been separated from our Heavenly Father for a time and you want to be reunited, please join me again at this altar. This is for the rest of you. If you want to be connected again with your Heavenly Father, if you're thankful for that connection that we have, please come. In these 5 hours, we'll pray with you and for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your children. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, God, and fighting for us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing us, oh Lord Jesus, out of darkness into your marvelous light. For coming after us when we were lost. For coming after us still when we didn't know who you are, when we didn't know who we are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being our intercessor, for being our advocate, for being our loving Father, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Days are held in your hand. Captive.